Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Cat survives wash cycle. What the hell?
Oh, easier way. They clean themselves, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A woman in Minnesota was doing laundry last Wednesday and didn't realize her cat, Felix, had jumped in the washing machine.
Felix.
Poor Felix.
Yes.
I know.
And it's called Squishy.
Somehow he survived a full 45-minute wash cycle.
And come on.
And that poor cat.
And he is really clean now, by the way. No need for him to bathe in the sunlight at all for a couple of days.
Like to put her in the wash cycle for 45 minutes.
Including rinse and spin.
Oh.
Wow. That thing could go up in the space shuttle now.
Yep.
That's space training, isn't it?
It really is.
Basically.
It really is.
They put you in that tub and they spin you around.
Right, centrifugal force. That sucker's going round and round.
Give Felix a little space suit and a helmet.
Exactly. Right.
Teeny kitty helmet.
Cats in space!
Felix, the first kitty astronaut.
Wow.
Is that Felix?
Is that Felix?
Felix, you could speak.
Sorry, I'm a little wet right now.
You're still wet.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Went to the spin cycle, for Christ's sake. But I smell Tide fresh, I'll tell you that much.
He's in critical condition at an animal hospital.
I know, yeah. I'm going to the hospital.
What's that? Oh, you're still on oxygen.
I'm still on oxygen, yeah.
You get the oxygen mask from you.
Exactly. That's why I was out like this, yeah.
All right, that tone is hurting my ears.
It is. Yeah.
We're going to move on.
Fine.
Put AJ back on the mic.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing a cat call?
Yeah.
No.
He's still on oxygen and has an IV.
Well.
Jeez.
What do you need an IV for? It's not like you're dehydrated.
Well, maybe they're trying to dry him out.
You were in a washing machine for 45 minutes. You can't be dehydrated. I'm sorry. I'm no veterinarian, but I'll do the math on this.
I think it's conditioner for his fur.
Let's see. We're holding the cat up, and it's dripping all over the floor. Nope, not dehydrated.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to dry him out a little bit.
I could see the whole oxygen thing, you know, because it hadn't had any in 45 minutes.
Right.
Poor little thing.
Yeah. It's amazing that thing's alive.
It's amazing.
Not to mention the thing's probably pretty dizzy still.
How could someone not notice your pet is missing for 45
minutes?
You
got to watch.
I can tell you exactly how this will happen, and people will call up and back me up on this.
What's that?
So I'll bet money that, one, the laundry room door is open or there is no laundry room. And they leave the lid up, and they just throw the clothes in.
Right.
The cat goes in, because anytime I put a box on the floor or a bag on the floor, kitty's like, kitty cave!
Exactly. Right. My place
right,
now.
They go right in there. They love those closed, confined areas.
Yeah.
They're cave creatures.
Laundry basket of fresh clothing. They love it.
They love it.
Nice and warm. Oh.
So you leave the lid up. You throw your clothes in. They jump in. They're like, oh, this is peaceful. I could sit here without the other cats bothering me.
Exactly. My own little
very,
domain.
Very, very nice. My own little kitty condo.
Right. My domain. Yes.
And then you throw another piece of laundry in there.
What
you
the
throw
hell,
some
man?
Soap. Close the lid.
What the heck?
And the cat has to be like, this can't be good.
Good,
right?
Good.
And it's like that scene in Star Wars where Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia is in a trash compactor.
Right.
And the walls are closing in and it's starting to fill with water.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is not good.
Not
so the
good.
Cat, the lid goes down, soap goes in. Well, soap goes in, lid goes down,
right.
Water starts pouring in.
Right. I don't like this place anymore.
Yeah.
This is not good.
I have to get out right now.
I hope it was a cool water cycle.
I don't know. I think it was cold water because the cat didn't shrink. And the cat's color stayed vibrant, by the way. The bowl stayed bolder. Yeah, it was a cold cycle. It wasn't a hot cycle.
I don't know. I only have Darby. So
I hope
I know.
There wasn't a brand new pink shirt in there.
Yeah. Why is everything covered in hair?
Right. She was missing for 45 minutes.
And some kind of a Tootsie Rolls in here.
Oh, no, a lot of Tootsie Rolls. Poor little thing.
And we have to do that laundry
Kitty.
Again, lady. And,
what and happened,
keep,
Kitty?
And keep Felix out of it.
Chaz and AJ.
My cat was in the car for a week and it's still in.
Wait,
what?
Your cat was in the car for a week?
A week. On Saturday, I do my lawn. And I was all done with the lawn and the edging. I went and got my backpack out of the car by the time I put the leaf back, blower back in the car, the cat went in.
Oops.
Closed the door.
Wait, you put the leaf blower in the car?
I'm sorry?
You put your leaf blower in the car.
I used the car, the spare car, as a storage for it, yep.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. Right. So it's like a storage shed that you can move anywhere you want.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like everyone does that.
He right.
Says, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
all right. That's my Durango, yeah.
All right.
So now I put it back in when I'm all done and didn't realize the cat was in there. And then next Saturday, I open up the door to get the leaf blower to do it again, and the cat jumped out.
Ah!
Oh.
And was he hungry?
Oh.
He was hungry too, boy.
That's a long time with no food or water.
Was it
no
summer?
Food, he ate for like
no
an hour.
Water in a car with the windows rolled up in the middle of summer.
Oh my God!
In the garage, at least.
God.
Outside in the driveway.
Jesus!
Wow!
Wow! That cat used all of his 9 lives.
Well, at least 7 of them.
Yeah, really.
I know, one for
yeah,
each
one
day.
For each day.
Exactly.
When you say, has anyone seen a cat? We've said that. We figured, all right, you know, maybe a coyote got him or something up in the woods.
Yeah.
Never came home. But nope. Next Saturday, we found him.
Wow.
And was he pissed?
And hungry.
He was. Ate for like an hour and a half.
I'm sure the inside of that car smells real good now,
yeah, really,
too.
Yeah.
The cat's
oh,
name
yeah.
is.
How long ago
yeah,
was that?
I had another job to do.
How long ago was that?
Oh, Lord, he's still alive. He's about 14 years old now, and that was probably about a good 6-7 years.
Wow.
Let's go with 7-8, so you're past the point of where you could be arrested.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Thank you, brother.
I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. John Cafferty.
Yeah.
It's Chaz and AJ. How are you, my brother?
Hey, buddy.
Wow, it's been a while.
I know that I'm making your interview about me right now, but you know, you were the very first celebrity I interviewed in my career.
Get out of town.
No.
You can't.
Man,
was,
oh man.
You were playing Toad's Place, and you came, I was doing the night show, 7 to midnight, and you came in, and you were my first in-studio celebrity guest.
Yeah, oh man.
I was nervous as crap, and you were very, very nice to me.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew any better back then.
Right. See, now I can treat like crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
A connection that John has to Connecticut is he met his wife at Toad's Place.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful Terry Lee.
Terry, I've heard of Terry for many, many years. Anytime John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band comes up, somebody would say, you know, his wife's from Shelton because I'm from Shelton.
Right. Represent.
And I heard that she went to see you at Toad's Place, right? Is that where you met her?
Actually, I met her at the record store.
Oh.
In store at Peaches.
Okay, so you see how those stories, they kind of changed.
Telephone game, yeah.
All right, so you met her at, I remember Peaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just, I think PLR had started playing like a single that we had called Wild Summer Nights. And, yeah, so we went over to do an in-store. There was a photographer there, 19-year-old beautiful girl from Shelton, Connecticut, Terry Lee DeFilippo. And she took our picture, and we still have the picture, and you can see the look on my face, like, you know, going, there she is, I'm caught, it's over.
Oh, that's yeah. awesome.
You're snagged.
Yes, love.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not ready.
But, Cupid great. Shot
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since.
So
ever
that since. Was it. Your first date with her was your last first date.
Right, yeah.
My last first date, yeah.
Holy smokes. And we've talked about this with Jimmy Koplik. I know you know Jimmy very well. And he would say Mike from Toast is very smart. Anytime Bruce was in town, he would book John because Bruce and John were friends.
Like a bug light.
Bruce loved being on stage with John. And so Bruce would do the show at the New Haven Coliseum and then come over to Toast Place and get on stage. How often did that happen?
Bob Seger. He used to get us in there where any of our friends would be over at the Coliseum.
Tell me about, like, one of the times Bruce Springsteen joined you on stage at Toad's Place.
You know, we get on a sound check over at the Coliseum and just, you know, say hey to him and all the guys, you know, from the E Street Band. And just, you know, I mean, back in those days, you know, those guys were starting to get some national recognition and having some success around the country. But, you know, the East Coast was obviously the first place where the crowds were getting really big. But, you know, they were young guys, and they were still young and unattached. And, it, you know, you finish the bar man guy, if you finish your show at a Civic Center, it's still early, you know, so they're looking to go out.
Yeah, hook up.
You know, he still had the energy to get up on stage and play with the bands if you were playing the right stuff. And we, you know, we all knew that old R&B, old rock and roll stuff, so we were pretty easy to jam with for, you know, bands from that school.
Is there a song or a moment you remember on stage at Toad's Place that you guys did and thought, wow, the audience and all of us are real lucky tonight, this was special?
Well, he had great songs, you know. I mean, he was a great songwriter even as a kid. And, he had great bar band songs. He had that song Rosalita, which is...
Oh, yeah. That's killer.
Mm-hmm. One of the great bar band songs. And we knew how to play it, you know, because when we were... first starting out back in the early 70s, it's like we had to play like, you know, 5-6 sets a night. By the time we got to Toad's Place, we were a pretty seasoned bar band, so we knew a lot of songs to fill the nights, and we had learned some of Bruce's songs and Van Morrison's songs and all that, you know, so we knew how to play Rosalita, so we got and sang it with us. So
damn. Well, that's a moment. It's a historic moment,
right? Basically, you're being used as bait.
It's yeah.
Want to catch up, Bruce?
Fun. We just came back from Asbury. We just played the Stone Pony the other night. I was just so much fun down there. That whole music community, the musicians, and we were always considered, cousins from out of town, you know, coming in.
Right.
And, it's just unreal that we were able to pull a lot of rabbits out of the hat because they know the words to every song I ever wrote.
Let's talk about this show that you have coming up, which is going to be awesome. It's at Ives Concert Park in Danbury, Sunday, June 30th. It's the Choose Love Movement, and this is to benefit the Jesse Lewis Choose Love organization. Jesse Lewis, one of the young people murdered in the Sandy Hook school shooting. How did you become involved in this, and what should we expect?
Well, it's a great cause. It's a free social emotional learning program, Choose Love. It helps kids to deal with their emotions and the emotions of others. It's been implemented around the country. I think they've started in every state. Terry Lee, my wife, my beautiful wife, is the Choose Love ambassador for Rhode Island.
John, thanks so much for coming on, brother.
Hey, guys.
I appreciate it.
Thank
man.
You.
You're the
Looking
best.
Looking forward to seeing you guys.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Back
John
you.
Cafferty performing with the Beaver Brown Band.
Yes.
June 30th at Ives Concert Park in Danbury, which is a really cool place to see a show. Like
Park. It's beautiful.
Parking's
like
easy.
Park.
It's outside. You know what I mean? It's an awesome setting.
Lake behind the stage and everything. I've only played there once, but a few years back, but it's beautiful.
We're going to link all the information up at WPLR.com. John, thanks for coming on, brother. Well, have you been following all this news in the Dominican?
Scary.
Yes.
It's very scary.
Very scary.
And every time, in a group of people and a story comes on or the story comes up, somebody says, wow, imagine like having a trip booked there. Now you can't go there now,
no,
right?
You can't go there.
Well, what if you had your honeymoon? Book there.
Yeah, for example.
It's only a couple weeks away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know anyone like that, Ashley?
I do know somebody like that.
You do?
Yeah.
Who?
My sister, Chelsea.
Oh.
And she's on the phone right now.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my
Hello.
God. You sound like her.
Ashley, is that you? How are you doing this?
You sound pretty cheery for someone who just had to make a bunch of different arrangements.
Yeah.
At what point in the news cycle did you say, yeah, we're going to have to bail? When did you book? Let's start with this. When did you book the honeymoon?
Sure. So, first of all, I'm a very, very indecisive person. So,
you decide, really?
So, when we went to plan our honeymoon, I'm like, yeah, Hawaii, wait, no. Yeah, Aruba, wait, no. So, it was just a long process. Finally, we decided on Punta Cana. I'm not really sure how we got to it, but we got to Punta Cana because it's beautiful, yada, yada, yada. So, fast forward a few months, and then we started hearing all these scary stories about all of these poor people dying. And we took a few weeks, you know, making excuses for ourselves, like, oh, it's not the hotel we're staying at. We'll be fine. And, oh, that would never happen to us, except... that's probably what all of those people were thinking when they went down there. Like, right, oh, yeah. That will never happen to us.
That's somebody else, yeah.
Right. So we kept making excuses for a couple weeks, and then I kept thinking about how suspicious it was, the fact that all of these people, you know, 50s and younger, are dying from, quote, heart attacks or, quote, pulmonary edemas. And then I kept hearing all the stuff about the mini bar, and you think that the, you know, an all-inclusive hotel is the safest place. So then I started thinking, like, oh, my God, I'm going to spend my honeymoon in the room, not leaving, not eating, not drinking. And I think, finally we started thinking about how much money we were going to lose, and then we're like, wait, but does it matter when, you know, we have a chance of not coming home?
Right.
Right, let's see. How much money will we lose in dying? Let's go back and forth on that one.
Death, lose money.
You know, staying in the hotel room. Now we're not going to do anything. So we're going to go there, what, to stay in a closet?
Right. Exactly.
Sounds like a fun honeymoon.
A hot and closet. Never go out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that does sound like a good honeymoon. Let's just stay in the room the whole week.
Exactly.
That's not what you meant?
No, that's my sister. That's not what I meant.
It's a honeymoon. It's implied, for God's sake.
So was there a story of another couple or person dying where you finally said, all right, we're out?
So it wasn't, the death toll ended up being, like, at this point, it was like 9 or 11. I can't even remember what it was. But then there was a story I read. They didn't die, but it was a couple that went on their honeymoon.
Yes.
And the girl got there, and she was sick the entire time. And she was in the hotel for 6 hours. Finally, the hotel called. And I can't remember even what hotel it was at. It wasn't the one we were supposed to stay at. But this couple came back home after, you know, spending 2 days in Punta Cana, like, throwing up the whole time.
They were from Canada. Then,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just, you know, the husband said, you know, if you're thinking of taking your honeymoon in Punta Cana, like, do not. Like, we thought it wasn't going to be us. It was us. We thought we're not staying at any of those hotels, yet it still happened. I think that was the story that really opened my eyes. And luckily they did make it back home, but, you know, I don't want to go and be sick for, you know, the whole time either. So.
Yeah, it started with she woke up and she felt like she was under the air conditioner. She slept near the air conditioner, but she was like, everything was cold. You know how when you're starting to get sick?
Yeah.
Like, all the air seems very sensitive and cold.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. It seems to me like Legionnaire disease. Remember that?
The whole time? Yeah. Mystery disease, yeah.
Right. So it's one of, they're going to find that there's some vent and it's just pumping out mold in the air.
Right.
And it's
in the water system, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. As soon as I heard that, like the second case is, I'm like, all right, let's rip apart all the ventilation systems.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
How much money did you lose?
So it, luckily, we didn't lose as much as we thought. We lost about $1,000.
It wasn't enough for me.
The hotel was actually really, really great. We ended up transferring the money to, the reservation to a different resort in Jamaica. So now we're going to Jamaica. So we ended up losing nothing from the resort, which
great.
Was amazing.
Great. Oh, cool. Very good.
But the airlines on the other, like, I need to buy an airline because these people make so much money off of cancellations.
Yeah.
So one of the airlines, you know, we lost 80% of what we paid up front because there was $400 to cancel and then $400 to rebook with them if we wanted to use the rest of the money, which I never knew. Apparently, whoever's changing their flights, there's a rebooking fee, which I didn't know about, but there's a, at this specific airline, there was a $400 rebooking fee, which she had told me after I canceled, oh, you know, if you had just changed your flight and not canceled, you would have saved $400.
How convenient for them.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that part. Oh, sorry.
I kind of knew that because I've been through that before.
Oh, really?
You just changed the flight to a different destination.
Yeah.
And at that point, we didn't know we were going to Jamaica, so I just canceled it outright. But
right,
if I
let's
had
just
known,
end it. Yeah.
Right.
So all totaled, what did you lose?
About $1,000.
Right.
And like a day of her life on the airline, on the phone with the airline.
A day of her life.
Yeah,
okay.
Better than all the rest of the days of your life.
Or, yeah, exactly.
That's
losing life entirely.
That's
going to Punta
Cana. One day loss is a very small price to pay.
What does Punta Cana mean anyway? It sounds like kick a can or something. Punta Cana.
It means cough up a lung.
Exactly right. It means you're going to die.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we're glad you're not going.
Yeah, yes. Really. Yeah, very happy now.
Good job.
Yes. It wasn't one of our, you know, Punta Cana wasn't a dream location in the first place, but to be going somewhere else where it's safe and where we know that we're going to make it home is much better than risking it.
I totally agree.
Worst live by.
Nice to finally have you on, yes. Chelsea. And congratulations.
Thank you guys so much. Morning.
Thank you.
Tom Cantone, Senior Vice President of All Things Cool at Mohegan Sun, on the phone now. Good morning.
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm going to be a star. I love that song. It's so fitting. And I know AJ is going to be driving his car in here, I hope.
Oh, yeah. He'll be camping out in your parking lot, by the way.
Yeah, I'll be in the shade Durango.
Yeah, so his ritual is to drive his Durango there, to sleep in it, and then catch Barrett Jackson Friday and Saturday.
It's like camping in your parking garage.
Yeah.
Just be careful. You know the rule. When you're in the arena, don't go, you know, to your face or your ear or comb your hair, because you'll be in for $750,000.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yes,
don't scratch your head.
Yep, exactly.
Don't yawn.
Don't breathe.
Nope. Yeah. Don't yawn. Don't wave to a friend.
Don't sneeze.
Right. Once they see me, they'll say, oh, no, he's just kidding.
Yeah.
If you see me, don't wave to me. Just nod.
Tom, how are you? You just bought a car. What? Tom now, needs some money.
Are you there on the weekend for that? Is that
something? Yeah, I'll be here. The place will be packed.
It'll be buzzing.
Yeah.
Although I'm not buying a car, of course. You know, I'll just watch.
You could, or you could buy one.
Are you a fancy car guy?
No, but I've always loved an Austin Healey.
Oh, and they have plenty of those.
It's my favorite car growing up. A buddy of mine had one. I always wanted one. And back then, you know, seatbelts were an option. It was just seatbelts were only put in for show.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know, and it's funny how today, if you don't have a seatbelt on, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Back then,
yeah.
There were no car seats, nothing. Everyone just hit that metal front, and, you know, they walked away. They washed it down. That was the end of it.
Exactly. Right. We were better people back then. We were stronger.
My brothers were in the back of the station wagon just playing around like it was a playpen.
Exactly.
Well, after the Little League games on the station wagon, we put the back down and we sit with our legs out while the car was in motion.
Yes, exactly. And we're all still here, aren't we?
Yeah.
Nothing ever happened.
Well, exactly. The ones who aren't here can't talk about it.
Well, survival
today, those parents would be arrested for child endangerment, and yet back then it was just all fun.
It was.
Did we ever wear a helmet riding a bike?
No, we did not, no. And we did stunts, too.
So you would go with an Austin Healey. Interesting.
Yeah, Austin Healey is my favorite car, believe it or not.
You should buy one. You deserve one. You work hard.
Does your wife give you any orders before you leave? Like, don't come back with anything for the garage.
No, but she actually wants the old VW Beetle convertible.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, we should buy
one. Ashley, what do you have?
I have a VW convertible.
But you have a newer one.
It's a newer one. I love the idea of having one of those with the trunk in the front. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. The classic.
Yeah.
And they got rid of the flowers.
Well, I'll tell you, the whole world's going to change, though. Probably not in my lifetime, but down the road, my buddy, my doctor friend, he's got a brand new car, and he says, Tom, there's no engine. And I said, what do you mean? He says, no engine. So he lifts up where the engine would be, and it's completely empty. And it's an electric car.
Yep.
And think about it. Down the road, not very long from now, though, you know, there'll be no auto parts stores. There'll be no gas. I mean,
it'll be an electronics store.
You go to Radio Shack, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean.
Radio Shack. There is no Radio Shack.
Well, there was until
about a year
ago.
It's already gone.
Yeah,
Radio Shack's gone. You won't need spark plugs. You won't need anything. And I looked at it, and you would never know. But the only problem is, you know, you have to plug in wherever you travel.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
It is.
But that could be the next Barrett Jackson down the road. You never know.
There's a 67 Mustang that's all electronic, and it's brand new now. This guy in England's putting them out. I posted it on our Facebook page this morning. Chaz and AJ Facebook page. If you get a chance, check it out. It has over 400 horsepower.
Oh,
and there's no motor.
There's a guy in Texas who does that. His is like 600 horsepower.
Yeah.
Yep.
But for,
yeah,
for me,
one upper.
Sorry.
I got to tell you a funny story, but for me, it was the 442 and the GTO.
Oh, yeah.
Those two were machines. And
muscle cars.
Yeah. And I was going to high school, and I mean, whoever had one of those, oh, man, they could torque it out. But last year, I'm walking around campus, and all this old guy is polishing this old car, and it's in pristine condition and everything. And I walk by, and I said to the guy, boy, I bet, you know, you hate to get rid of this one. And he looked at me and he goes, hardly even looked at me and goes, you don't know what we do here, do you?
There you go.
And I went, oh, I get it. You could care less. You just want to get the ching.
It's right. It's a commodity. Right. Yeah, it's a commodity to be sold. And boy,
you know we're at an auction there, boy.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You don't hold on to it.
That's what we do here, Sonny.
I felt like an idiot because I thought he was going to tear up getting rid of it.
All right.
He was just all smiles. He was going to make money.
He probably has like
show
a year.
Show me the money.
Yeah, he probably bought it someplace else and he's going to flip it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But boy, they take care of their cars. Oh my God.
It's a big treat to have such a world-renowned auto auction coming to Mohegan Sun. I mean, they don't bring this to every state.
No.
It's Vegas, it's Florida. Do they do one in
It's Vegas, Florida, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Northeast here at Mohegan Sun.
That's it.
And the other thing is it's broadcast live nationally, so
yep.
You know, it's pretty cool. And how they do things, you have to have, you know, to sit on the floor, you have to have a medallion or something to be able to bid. They're on their phones. They're probably talking to you to figure out how much you want to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. How, and you know something? Wait, sorry. Good.
How with the cars, are there laws about how much gas they can have inside the building?
Yeah, they push that. They're correct. They push them in onto the stage. So there's people that push us. Not they're not really running, but yeah, there is something like that. But throughout the concourse, though, we have a display of cars throughout the Mohegan Sun property. So
yep.
People are looking at them, and you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, the Corvette, people love that, the American Corvette. But there's all kinds of cars, you know, that really go for a lot of money. It's incredible still.
Yeah. The electricity, when you walk into the arena and all this is going on, I mean, it's electric. It really is. All of these people there, gorgeous cars on stage. You got the guy barking out, you know,
we know how it works.
But, I mean, your nipples
get
hard.
There's people, there's energy, and there's an auctioneer.
Your nipples get hard. You really yeah. do.
Yours are all the time.
You know, yes.
Why do you even say that?
They get harder.
Can you imagine being married to one of those auctioneer guys, though, at the dinner table?
Yeah, imagine.
Come here. What?
Yeah, he wants to salt.
Where were you last night?
Imagine Tony doing sex.
I mean, a little annoying. Bobby, keep your mouth shut, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite an event. And not only that, though, there's all kinds of memorabilia that they sell, you know, like even old gas pumps.
Yeah.
And things that they
find. Signs, everything.
But I think the thing is all about memories. I really do. It's about a time when, you know, the American car was a classic thing to have. And it brings back great memories for, you know, the people that, you know, drove a 65, you know, Mustang or a Camaro. Those cars, the 442s, all them, they meant something back then.
It was a status symbol in America.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember growing up, you know, oh, man, he's got a Cadillac.
Exactly.
Yep. Your neighbor had one. You had that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean,
he doesn't have two nickels to rub together, but he's got a Cadillac.
Damn
so
right.
He's successful.
Yep.
If you had a Cadillac, you were rich.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right. You made it in America.
Yep.
I had a Pinto.
Not anymore.
I doubt you ever had a Pinto.
Not anymore, you don't.
Yeah, but, you know, those cars. I remember the
If you had a Pinto, you won it in a card game.
No.
It was a spare for the trunk.
I did. I had a Pinto that was an ugly color, and because I couldn't afford a new car, I had it spray painted a different color.
There you go, see?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, so, hey, I had a new car, but it's a Pinto. Yeah.
Before I split, I wanted to have you on to really just thank you for your generosity to veterans.
Yes.
I texted Tom probably Wednesday before the Veterans Gala, and because I'm trying to put together now, what can I possibly do that would get a lot of bids?
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, oh, maybe a concert,
right.
You know, because you go to the concert and Jennifer and I will go with you. So I text him last minute. I'm like, hey, can we get a couple, like four tickets? He's like, no problem. Thank you for what you do for the veterans. I'm like, no, you're doing it. We're taking the credit.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then we're at the event and the bidding is, we have two people who are bidding a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what if we do, you know, you and you? So now I need two more tickets. So it was a weird thing to text Tom Monday morning and say, hey, guess what I did?
kind of shot myself in the foot here.
Right. And he was like, no, I offered to pay for him. He's like, nope. On Mohegan Sun.
You're
it's
awesome,
for the
man.
Veterans.
Wow. He's awesome.
No, we love our veterans. We do an annual event here called Vets Rock. Anything to help our military heroes, whatever you need. And I'm going to make sure that Brian Adams and Billy Idol are aware. And, you know, it's always nice to have them plugged into all the great work you're doing and who's in the audience. So I'll take care of all that.
Excellent. Man, if there's any possibility of them meeting you or...
sure.
Backstage or just a walk back there or whatever.
Yeah.
What, I already got so much.
Gotta
I don't
want
to ask for anything more, but I would love for these bidders to maybe have some sort of experience that others wouldn't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be the next thing we'll work on. I'm going to keep you in the loop on that.
No, thank you, brother.
Definitely. You know, I can bring them backstage like I did our friend before. So consider that done, and then let's figure out how we're going to do everything else from there. But I'll take care of it.
You're the man. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
And I don't know if anyone's been looking at this Mohegan Sun site, but there's a lot of shows coming.
There are
a
killer. It's a killer summer. New Kids on the Block, Toby Keith, Little Big Town, two shows of Fish. I mean, it's this July is going to be crazy. Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie.
Yeah. Lionel Richie. Crazy. I mean, everybody's talking about our lineup. It's we just surpassed 13 million people last week since the arena has been open.
Wow.
13 million.
Damn.
13 million people. We're not in the major market. We're not in New York or Boston. And here we sit as one of the top 10 arenas in the nation for all sizes, not just our size. And, you know, we're like in the company of Madison Square Garden. It's just a great story. And, you know, we're proud of everybody who works it and lives it. And when the tourists tell us, they circle our date when they see us because they know they're going to relax and have fun and everything's going to be done right. That's a real compliment to us as opposed to sitting in some venue in a downtown area. They don't know anybody. And it's really, you know, I'm really proud of this venue for, you know, coming from nothing to a world-class elite company that we're in around the world.
They did two things right, right? So they hired you. And they got into a deal with Jimmy Coplick. I mean,
no
those
question.
Two things, like, that was it. Like, you just boxed everybody out then at that point.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no one can beat us. So it's all about relationships, as you guys know. And, you know, to make things happen with a phone call is real. I mean, we were the first to do a Billy Joel residency. He never did a residency before, and now he's got 100 of them that he's doing at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
For Billy to
he's
do
like, wow, good idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that in New York.
And it was a spur-of-the-moment idea at a dinner I had with Dennis Arfa, and I tried to get Billy into the casinos for a venue that I've been associated with for 20, 25 years. And Dennis always had a, you know, well, and I said, Dennis, how can we make this happen? We got to get Billy in here. I got an arena, blah, blah, blah. He says, we have to set a record. I said, what's the record? He said, let's do 10 in a row. I said, done. And I didn't even think about the math and the money.
It was that whole pesky math part of it.
Got to shoot from the hip.
Yeah.
those were details, but I figured, if I can get 10 Billy Joels in a row here, it was a record at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, who would have thought, even Dennis said, I mean, who would have thought that now he would be breaking residency records at Madison Square Garden? It's like, you know, onto 100, you know, but we're proud to have been the first, you know. And Eric Church, who started in the Wolf Den to 40 people, played two sellout arena shows. First thing he said when he got here is, I got to go over to the Wolf Den, say hello to the guys over there.
That's cool.
So it's all about relationships and you know, friendships and what I call FFLs, Friends for Life, like you guys. You know, those are the things that are meaningful. You know, then if you have enough money, you can buy that Austin Healey come this week.
I'm bidding on a shirt.
Was there a moment when you walked away from that Billy Joel deal thinking, oh, boy?
Uh-oh.
Or when you went to your bosses and said, guess what I did? Were they like, oh, awesome? Or they were like, what did you do?
Well, let me tell you. I was nervous because it was the biggest financial commitment we've ever made, and I did get support, but I was nervous to to see how it was going to go until we went on sale. And when we went on sale and Ticketmaster crashed, the first three, four shows went clean. And to Dennis's credit, nobody knew we were doing 10. So we never told anybody. Oh. We just said, we're going to add another. We'll add another. Because had we done 10, announced we're going to do 10, yeah. people would say, well, I can go anytime. Right. I'll buy a ticket later.
Right.
So we created this demand, like he's doing with Madison Square Garden. You never know if he's going to add another.
Right.
And so people are going to say, well, I got to see him, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a genius idea, great timing on our part, but it's a compliment to the venue that now has become in world-class status. And tours start here now. U2 ended their tour here. They could have stayed in New York, but because of relationships, they ended their tour here and actually said to me backstage, this is the best venue they've ever played. And I said to Bono, I said, wait a minute. And the tour manager standing right there who knows me. And I said, say that again. You guys have been all over the world.
Hold on. Let me get my phone out.
Don't move.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me record that.
Hang on a second.
Well,
yeah.
Tom, thank you so much, brother, man. I really, really, really appreciate your help for the veterans.
A salute to them. And we're going to give them a great night here when they get in here.
And awesome. If you see someone sleeping out in your parking lot over the weekend, say hi to AJ.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have them buy a Pinto. There's nothing left.
I want a donut and a coffee.
Thank you, Tom Cantone, right. Mohegan Sun.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.